7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Top. Décollage.
There you go. Rocket launch. Hang on. Room shaking. They are captivating, aren't they? And sometimes, you know, if you've followed them over the years, they are unpredictable. Some explode on the launch pad. Others get lost in space. And this one we were just listening to, that was the launch of the European Space Agency's two Galileo 5 and 6 satellites. The satellites made it into space, but a technical glitch pushed them into the wrong orbit. Details. Details. Ah, of course, you can't let, though, a good satellite go to waste. So two groups of physicists have repurposed these satellites to make the best of a bad situation, repurposed them to test general relativity, a fitting idea for this year, the 100th birthday of Einstein's famous idea. My next guest is on one of those teams. Sven Hermann is an experimental physicist at the Center of Applied Space Technology and Microgravity. That's out of the University of Bremen in Germany. Welcome to Science Friday.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me.
So you're now going to use these satellites. How do you use them to test general relativity?
Well, as you maybe, I don't know if you mentioned that, but these satellites are now on a very eccentric orbit. So they were supposed to go on a circular orbit. Now they're on an eccentric orbit, and that means with these clocks on board of the satellites, they are changing their altitude in the gravitational potential. And that gives us an excellent opportunity to test the gravitational redshift or the gravitational time dilation. So that's a very basic prediction of general relativity, that a clock that is closer to a massive object like Earth will seem to tick a bit more slowly than a clock that is located further away. And the clocks on board of those satellites, they are now just exactly doing this. They are approaching Earth and going back and forth with every revolution on the orbit that they do, about twice a day.
How much in seconds, in fractions of a second, would you see to justify or to back up the Einstein's theory?
So that's on the order, I think. We put it in the shift in the frequency. The shift in the frequency is 10 to the minus 11, or one part in 10 to the 11. And that's caused by a change in altitude on the order of 8,000 kilometers per orbit. So if you put that into seconds, I think you end up with something on the order of microseconds.
Wow.
So several 10 or 100 microseconds, yes.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking about this interesting experiment with these satellites. So you had to find satellites, though, that had clocks on them, right? Not all the satellites have the kind of clocks that you would need, but these two did?
So the clocks in the Galileo program, I mean, they are all, there are rubidium atomic clocks and there are passive hydrogen masers, and they are all kind of the same model that is used in the global satellite navigation system, Galileo, like in GPS. So these are pretty good clocks. They are maybe not the world's best clocks, but they are designed for the purpose of positioning and navigation. And I think they are sufficient for the test that we want to do.
Why do we continue to need to test Einstein's theories of relativity?
That's a good question. I think this general relativity is just such a very basic theory. It's essentially defining our understanding of space and time. So it's the very basic of physics that I think it's our, we're obliged more or less to really test this fundamental theory to the best what technology can provide us with. And we should use, I think, every chance to look at the fundamentals and the principles that this theory is built on. And especially if you look at the problem that is something many physicists try to tackle today, is a unification of gravity theory, that's general relativity, and quantum theory on the other hand. Those mm-hmm. two big theories in physics, they are seemingly incompatible, and if you want to formulate a theory of quantum gravity, a unified theory of those two, you might have to change some of the basics that these theories are built on. And so maybe at some level of precision, you might find small deviations in the fundamentals of general relativity. And so, unfortunately, we don't know at what precision we will find the deviation. So it might be around the corner, it might be orders of magnitude away, but as I said, my philosophy is just do the best tests you can with the technology you have at hand. And with this satellites, I think we have a good opportunity to improve these tests.
Well, we'll await your results. It sounds quite exciting, and we wish you the best of luck.
Well, the results, we have scheduled now to do collect the data that these satellites provide us with more or less for free over the course of 1 year. So
okay.
We want to have 1 year of data that may help us to disentangle the signal that we are looking for from some systematic errors or systematic effects.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got. We'll check back in a year. We've got to say goodbye, Sven. Sven Herrmann, experimental physicist at the Center of Applied Space Technology and Microgravity at the University of Bremen. One last thing before we go. Late last week came word that Amir Axel had passed away, and he wrote a slew of books, many dealing with math on topics as diverse as Fermat's Last Theorem, Monks and Evolution, Ancient Cave Art, Uranium, Religion, The Hunt for the Higgs Boson. He joined me many times on this program over the years, and I was always struck by his humor and his ability to describe complexity in simple terms, as in this description of Hilbert's paradox and infinity.
There's a better way of seeing it, and that's my all-time favorite about infinity, and that's called the Infinite Hotel, or Hilbert's Hotel. So you go to this hotel someplace, and you need a room. You're very tired, and it's called the Infinite Hotel. So you think, certainly we'll find a room here. But the person at the desk says, I'm sorry, we have infinitely many rooms, but they're all full. There's no vacancy. And so you say, okay, I'm a mathematician. Mm-hmm. I should be able to solve this problem. And you tell the person at the desk, take the person in room one, move him or her to room two, the person in room two to room three, room three to room four, and you have room one for me right now. So that's the idea of infinity, that you can really do very strange things. You can always extract a finite quantity from an infinite one.
Amir Axel passed away too soon last week at the age of 65.